This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msbnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Ralph Russo of the AP right now on the Mick Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline. Ralph, last night, what you saw, what you've seen all season long from this Alabama team, just sum it up for us. If you could encapsulate this season, this team in 2020, and what they did last night, how would you describe it?
You know, I think one of the ways I wrote it in my story is this was a really hard season for everyone involved in college football. And the closer you got to the field, it was even harder, right? So it was tough to cover, but who cares about me? It was even tougher for the players and the coaches. And mostly it was really hard for the players. But when you watched Alabama play, they made it look easy, right? In this sort of season of struggle, Alabama, you know, performed at a level, and I had asked, you know, Nick about that during the week of, you know, again, it's one thing to be great. It's one thing to even win all your games. It's another thing to win all your games and play at this high a level in this circumstance. And I think that's why when you mentioned Saban getting a little choked up and he's been effusive in his praise of this team, I think a lot of it has to do with that. It's not just, you know, winning all your games. It's winning all your games under these circumstances and on the Saturdays, or last night, in this case, Monday night, but when they actually played the games, there was never any sign that Alabama was having any struggle. Like, the games were easy in a season that was not.
I mean, Ralph, when you look at this final AP poll, you'll see that Alabama defeated number 2, number 4, number 5, number 7, number 13, by almost a combined 100 points, 228 to 132 against those football teams. There were a lot of difficulties as to ranked teams decide who should be ranked where, who was what a team actually was. How definitive is this number one for you, maybe compared to the last 10, 15 that you've covered?
Well, I mean, I feel like at this point, because of the playoff, when we get to number one, the number one is always definitive. I think the broader question is number one and in what context with the history of college football, right? And again, that's just such a tough conversation to have. We watched LSU go 15-0 last year and blow a lot of teams out. I think, again, the context being of how hard this and odd this season was to perform at that level with all the distractions was incredibly impressive. To perform at that level against the level of competition, right? I mean, you know, maybe it wasn't the greatest SEC ever, but it was still a bunch of SEC schools. And as you said, you know, let's just take Ohio State and Georgia, right? Ohio State and Georgia, if you go by the 247 Sports talent composite, right? Those are the three most talented rosters in the country coming into the season were Georgia, even slightly more talented than Alabama, just from, you know, recruiting rankings. Alabama number two, a little behind Georgia, and a little behind Alabama, Ohio State. So that there's a very small tier of elite teams in this country who are recruiting at that level. It's Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Clemson a little bit behind that, though gaining. So it's a super small tier. Alabama played two of the teams in its tier and dusted both of them, right? So even throw out some of the other ranked teams that they play, which are impressive at A&M and things along those lines. But if you just look at, like, the elite of the elite in the country right now as far as talent accumulation, Alabama was better by those two teams by a lot. By what, 50 odd points, I guess, combined? And so why? Why are they so much better? They just max out their resources. They max out this talent better than anybody else. So even the teams that can accumulate the talent somewhat in the ballpark of Alabama can't max it out the way Saban does at Alabama.
Ralph, in all the years that you've been covering college football, where do you think Devontae Smith all time from a wide receiver perspective will go in college football?
Well, I mean, listen, I think you can make an argument that's the greatest season ever for a wide receiver. Now, you know, you see Randy Moss in college, and that was a, you know, stunning talent, right? So you can make arguments that there have been other more, you know, physically gifted wide receivers who have had similar year, who are maybe sort of in the ballpark as far as a particular year. But again, to play at his level against that competition in this year, I mean, the numbers are stunning. Again, I think last night sort of sums it up, right? I mean, here's the best player on the field. Ohio State knows that Alabama wants to get him the ball. They cannot stop him from getting the ball. You know, he is worthy of being called one of the great players in Alabama history, regardless of position. As a Heisman winner, he will go down as one of the great players in college football history. And again, I think that this season is as good a season as a wide receiver has ever had. And even though he is not the most physically imposing wide receiver we have ever seen, his skill set and his mastery of that position has been, it was a marvel. And last night it was incredible. It was incredible. And, you know, listen, that's part of Sark getting him open and all the things that lead that have that offense, you know, flow so well together. But so much of it is Devontae's talent.
The AP's Ralph DeRusso at Ralph DeRusso AP joining us talking about last night's Alabama win over Ohio State 52-24 in the national championship game. Ralph and all of our other guests joining us on the Mick Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline. I saw a comment by you, Ralph, just a little bit ago there on Twitter, and I think you summed it up. I mean, for Najee Harris to come back this year, he had toyed with maybe entering the NFL draft. He decided to come back after consulting with the coaching staff. What a tremendous story. And as far as what you think Najee Harris not only did for this football team in winning a national championship and being such an integral part of the offense, what do you think it will mean long term, or at least short term, as far as the next level for Najee?
So as a player, Najee clearly got better, helped himself in that fashion, and will probably, you know, running back is a position that, you know, that's a different conversation, right? It's not a highly valued position. I don't think Najee is going to be a top 10 pick, but that has more to do with the nature of the position at this point. No doubt he got better as a player, and he will be a more valuable player for that heading into the league. I think the thing that's been interesting to me about Najee, you know, the Alabama program is, I would put it this way. I don't know if it encourages the players to show a ton of personality, right? I think that they bring in players who are very workmanlike, like Devontae, and they don't have a whole lot to say, but they get the job done, and that's fine. Najee clearly has a little bit more effervescence maybe to his personality. I think he is a guy who I think you can tell sort of wants to be heard and has a coolness to him that I don't know if the world has been exposed to. I think we kind of started getting exposed to it this season. And I think it'll be really fun to see that personality on a platform like the NFL where you sort of can be a big personality. And I think that doesn't just go for Alabama. I think that's college football in general sort of suppresses a little bit of the personality because we don't get as much access to the athletes. So I'm really interested to see Najee with a bigger platform and a little more freedom to express his personality because he seems like a really interesting dude.
Ralph, based on coaches that you've spoken to, media members you've spoken to, administrators that you've spoken to, what do you believe that most people involved in college football see next for this sport? And I don't mean so much big picture as far as playoff expansion.
Yeah.
I'm talking about like spring ball this year, season next year.
Yeah.
What's on the near horizon?
Yeah, I hear you. Are we going to get back to normal through the pandemic? And I think the answer to that would be a very broad yes, though not completely normal. I expect spring football. I've talked to, you know, exactly, you know, administrators, people who are involved in those decisions, and I think that we will have normal spring practice and spring football. I think we will lead into, again, a relatively normal summer. You know, the recruiting piece of it I still think is interesting because I don't think they're loving the idea of a lot of people traveling around to these campuses and bringing that sort of new people into the programs until everybody's vaccinated. So we could still be in, you know, I mean, as it is, I think the dead period is going to extend until April. So that piece could be a little cluttered. I think there's a good chance we are going to progress along in a very normal fashion. The one thing that will be a real wild card is fans and stands. I think even as far as next season, the idea of a truly full stadium seems to be a bit of a stretch. But I think the idea that we're going to go through a summer of will they or won't they play, I don't think that's going to happen. The idea that we might have to alter schedules and not have non-conference games. You know, it's hard to predict the vaccine. The virus. You should never bet on the virus. A lot of things can go wrong with that. But I think there's a lot of cautious optimism that this 2021 will have a far less drama. And we'll also just be better for the players and the coaches too. Again, we go back to what, like how arduous this was for them. And I think that a season next year where players are not getting tested every day and there's not so much, is this the day I get tapped on the shoulder and can't play for 2 weeks? I think a lot of that is hopeful that it will go away and maybe there'll be less disrupted games and maybe very few disrupted games. So I think that there's a lot of optimism for a return to what looks like a lot more normal 2021 football.
All right, Ralph, final AP top 25 poll is out. Anything in particular that jumps out to you as far as the final rankings?
Yeah, you know, I think it was a year where we talked a lot about the teams outside the Power Five. They got a lot of run this year, and there's some circumstances for that, right? I mean, I think, you know, because they didn't play as many Power Five teams, they didn't accumulate as many losses, and so there's certainly circumstances, but the idea that there are eight teams in the top 25 from outside the Power Five, a couple of Sun Belt teams, Louisiana and Coastal, a couple of MAC teams at the bottom there. I understand that that's something that happened due to broader circumstances, but I also think that the conversation around those teams might be good for the future of college football as far as sort of broadening some opportunities and getting more fan bases involved. So, yeah, eight of the 25 out of the non-Power Five to me was the thing that sort of jumped out.
All right, Ralph, it seems like we were just talking about the preseason top 25 poll with you. I would say it seems like just yesterday, but this season has it's actually seemed a lot longer than it's actually been, but that's good. And we savored every moment, and we got to put a big bow on it last night.
Yeah, it's been a long and a bit of a grind this season. I think everybody's looking forward to get back to normal. I'm kind of with Nick Saban on this. I think one of the reasons why I imagine Saban was so sort of pleased was because of everything that, as you said, everything that we've all been through to accomplish this was great. I think getting to the finish line, everybody can sort of see a brighter horizon, you know, a brighter days on the horizon. And I think for a lot of us, we're a little tired and happy that it's kind of in the rearview mirror, but also happy it happened.
Absolutely. Ralph, we always appreciate your time. Always great thoughts. It's Ralph DeRusso. You can follow him on Twitter, Ralph DeRusso AP. Great stuff. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Ralph Russo joining us on the Mick Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline with zero sugar, zero carbs, and only 80 calories. Try cucumber lime, peach pear, or spicy pineapple.
This is Three Man Front.